At the age of 29, I became a child of God. I became saved, and I became a Christian. And like Cheryl, I grew up in a Christian home and knew all about Christianity. I'd walked the aisle, like she said, a few times. I walked the aisle so many times I had my own cards printed on what you did when you got up here. I mean, it was amazing. I walked the aisle one time at First Baptist Wichita Falls during a Bailey Smith concert, well, it just will have been, but preaching. And as I walked through there, it was so amazing. And you know, you don't know what churches get into until you do this. I walked the aisle, the preacher sent me over to another guy. This guy said, "Fill out this card." So I filled out this card. I handed him the card. He handed it to the preacher. I walked to this guy. I walked to the front of the church. He said, "Don't you feel better?" I said, "Why?" So I answered all the questions right or what? I mean, all I did was fill out a card. And there's a lot more to being Christian than just filling out a card and handing it to Jesus when we walk up there on Judgment Day. And as I'd walked the aisle many times, been baptized many times, I did not understand things. You know, easy believism, easy evangelism had come into our era, and it's not a part of God. But I didn't know about lordship, repentance, cross-bearing, or counting the cost, or anything like that. I didn't know about things like that. And the lordship, number one was lordship. In Luke 6:46, he said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And I remember as I was struggling with salvation, I'd heard testimonies like said, "I became a Christian when I was 10 years old, or I became a Christian when I was 12 years old, but I made Jesus Lord of my life when I was 18. That's like oil and water. It just does not mix. It's because we don't make God anything. God made us. He created the world. He created everything in it. He is Lord. It'd be like if I went to work, say Leo was a boss somewhere, and Leo's boss, but he's not my boss because I don't work for him. So if I go to work for Leo, then he became my boss. Did I make him boss? No, he already was boss. He just became my boss. It's when we become a child of God, we don't make him Lord. He already was Lord. Now he became my Lord. There's no way that you can become a Christian and make God Lord later. It just doesn't work that way. But as I heard testimonies like this, I thought, well, that's what I did. I just made him Lord. No, I don't make God anything. He already is Lord. He's Lord of all. In James 1:22, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers of the word, deceiving yourself." What lordship is not, it's not just going to church and listening, but it's dying to self and doing what most of the time is not natural. Doing is action. Be ye doers of the world. Do not deceive yourself. Church going is not just doing things. It's a religion. Cross bearing. Luke 9:23. "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Cross bearing, it can be a thankless job, and it sure can be a thankless lifestyle. As you remember the story when Jesus was carrying his cross up to that hill, I can't remember a time when anybody walked to him and said, "Thank you, Lord, you're doing a good job. Carry that cross for me. Through this cross, I'm going to earn salvation. I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going to live eternally." No. What were they doing to him? They were mocking him. They were spitting on him. When we carry our cross for Jesus, it's a thankless job. It's not a lot of things that people walk up to us and say, "I understand what you're doing." Most of the time you carry that cross alone. Jesus did, you know. It said there that one time they were mocking him. I love this. You ever think about mocking? Your kids come home from school and they say, "Well, people mock me today at school." And you say, "Oh, just get over it. They didn't mean." No, take it serious. Do you realize one of Satan's biggest weapons is mocking? In Matthew 27:31, "And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." At the cross, one of the biggest weapons Satan could come up with was mocking. Satan loves to mock Christians. He loves to have people mock Christians. Don't take it lightly when your kids are mocked. Sit down and explain to them, this is coming from Satan. Satan's been doing it from day one. If he thought enough to do it to the Son of God, be thankful he does it to you. Understand what mocking is. Not much glory in cross-bearing. Cross-bearing, this is what cross-bearing can do, and you may have experienced this. Cross-bearing can even turn your own family against you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 14:25-28. "Now the great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? If you try to teach that's an amazing statement right there. He says, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, you look at Jesus and you say, Jesus, looks to me like you're violating one of the big ten there. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your mother and father. But yet right here you tell us, I can't come after you unless I hate my mother, my brother, my father, my sister. What does that mean? Do you really intend for me to hate them? No, that's not what he's talking about. Whenever, to give you an example, Rory went off to Super Summer, and I believe that Rory became a Christian at Super Summer. I believe that Rory's life turned around at Super Summer. And God had revealed to him at Super Summer, he said, now, Rory, whenever you get home, I want you to take all those CDs of them country singers, George Strait, some of those. He said, I want you to take all those, I want you to throw them away. I want you to do what? I don't want you to listen to anything but Christian music. I don't want anything come to your mind that doesn't glorify me. And so Rory come home, and he's excited about what God's told him to do, and he's excited about following the Lord. So he got, and I mean, he had a bunch of them. He's a real spoiled kid growing up. He had a bunch of them, and he gathered them up, and he just threw them in the trash can. Well, here comes Satan along, trotting along, and he sees these in the trash can. And Satan looks a lot in different ways, and this time Satan looked just like me. I walked by and I saw those in the trash can. I said, are you crazy? I said, what are you doing throwing all these away? God had told him to do it, but old Satan himself walks up. And I'm out at the trash can. I'm digging through them. I said, man, we can sell these. You know, I'm thinking, we can sell these. Let's have a garage sale. We can make money. No. God said, throw them away. Well, old Satan doesn't give up. He said, Rory, we can sell these. And Rory just, you could see the look in his face. It was a hard stand for him to take, to stand there and say, to obey God. But now he had to battle against me. Did he hate me? No. Did he hate what I was doing? You better believe it. When it comes to the point he says, hate your mother or father, he didn't hate me, but he hate what I'd become. He'd hate what I'd gone against. We have to battle. He had to battle against me. He said, Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must hate his mother or father and follow me. So Satan used me, his father, his own father, to make it hard for him to follow God. And that's what God's talking about. So when I heard about the Africa trip, I kind of learned my lesson, you know. I didn't jump for joy and say, oh, that's good. You'll go over and see lions and tigers and bears and don't pet the alligators and things like this, you know. And I didn't get real excited. No, I didn't say anything like that. All I did was pray. I didn't want to be somebody he had to hate again. And I don't know. Some of you had family that went on these trips. How'd you feel about it when you heard? Did we become someone that they had to hate before they could go to Africa? Or did we become someone that just prayed for them before they went, you know? I know that whenever you have some that here that went to El Paso, some that went that are in Africa, some are thinking about going to Lebanon that the Lord's called. Do we become Satan and mock them and say and ask, why do you want to go there? Why do we need to go there? Why do we need to go to these places? You know, but you can say, I love my family, and I could never do that. I could never do that to my family. I could never be that way. One of the greatest disciples of all times did that. Let's turn to Matthew 16:21-23. My wife looks at me and says, slow down. I get to talking so fast I lose my breath. From the time that Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, the elders and the chief priests and the scribes began, and he'd be killed and raised the third day. Then Peter, here comes Peter, took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You're offensive to me. For you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. I love Peter. I can relate to Peter. I mean, Peter was always broadcasting when he ought to have been tuning in. I mean, he jumped right in there and he said, Lord, don't let this happen to you. He said, far be it from this to happen to you, Lord. He said, this is not going to happen to you. Who was Peter representing? Satan. He said, God had done said, I got to go to Africa. I got to go to El Paso. I got to go to Lebanon. I got to go to these things. Oh, no, not let these things happen to you. Far be it from you, Lord. And boy, how would you like for God to look at you and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because who was he representing? Satan. Who was I representing? Satan. Who can we represent? Satan. We say, well, no way as a child of God I can ever represent Satan. I believe the greatest disciple of all was representing Satan right then. And he had to take him aside, and he had to get on to him. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. This was not easy for Jesus. You know, Jesus was just, he was a human. And he needed encouragement there at this time. And he needed him to come to him and say, oh, Lord, what can I do for you? I know you've got to go through these things. I know it's not going to be easy. What can I do, Lord? You know, what can I do? But he said, instead, he said, Lord, this isn't right. You're going down the wrong road. There was those that went to El Paso, Africa, Lebanon. They don't need us to tell them, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing these things. What can I do for you? I need to pray for you. What can I do? Because human, Satan, the battle's taking place. But Peter being a mouthpiece for Satan, we can be a mouthpiece for Satan. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, why you are offensive to me. What Peter said was not God, but his selfish desires. When we let self, which God tells us to deny, get in the way, we also become a mouthpiece for Satan. I'm sure Carrie, if she had her way, would have said, no way you're going to Africa. Right, Carrie? No way. I know you can be a mouthpiece for Satan. No way you go to Africa. I love to get my daughter-in-law when I can. Then there will be some that say, I don't know why you need to go to Africa. I don't know why you need to go to El Paso. I don't know why you need to go to Lebanon. There's plenty around here that needs saving. And if I know you've probably heard that. There's plenty around here to do. Why do you need to go off to all them places? I don't know, but this is a neat story in Acts 28, 25 through 37. Turn there, please. God's ways are not always man's ways. But Peter had learned his lesson. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel in many villages. This is Peter and Philip, and they're preaching the gospel in many places. They had big crowds. A lot of them turned out to see this. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, rise, go toward the south, the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. I mean, he was sending from a populated area to a desert area. So he rose, and he went. And he met a man, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charged all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near to him and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran up beside him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer silent. He opened not his mouth. In his humility his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip, I ask you, whom does the prophet of this himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip had plenty to do around there. There was plenty right there that needed saving, weren't there? There was plenty, you know. And God called him out of this plentiful area to a desert. I don't understand why. I couldn't explain why. I know there was a man got saved because of it. But we can't understand always why God calls us there. And I know that Peter didn't say to him this time, he didn't say, Philip, we got plenty to do around here. Why are you going to the desert? Why are you going where no one's at? He said, because God called him. That's all I can say. And we have to trust him when God calls. Number three that I want to talk about is cross-bearing. Luke 14:27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Salvation is free. We know that. For by grace you save through Christ. It's the gift of God. But it has a big responsibility to it. It costs God his son. I mean, we should never take the blood of Christ lightly. It costs God his son. So what do we think? We can just go skipping down the aisle and say, which way to heaven? Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus ever walk up to anybody and say, hey, you want to go to heaven? We won't find that anywhere. When people came up to him and asked him about salvation, he talked about lordship. He talked about cross-bearing. He talked about denying yourself. He never just said, yeah, when you get to heaven, remember I ask you, and you just tell him. No, it was not that simple. It was never that simple. What is the opposite of love? Rory's preached on this a lot, and that's where I learned this. What's the opposite of love? Anybody remember? He's a lousy preacher, isn't he? You don't remember that? That's right. The opposite of love is self. Deny yourself, you know. What is the opposite of love? Luke 19, 23 through 26. We must deny ourselves. Let's turn to Luke 9, 23 through 26. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after him, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever desires to lose his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is a man he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me, my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and his fathers and all his holy angels. Deny self simply means do what God tells you to do most of the time, because what God wants us to do, our selfish ambitions, are just the opposite of what we're supposed to do. Deny yourself and follow God. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I love this. In other words, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. I've learned to suffer with Christ, you know. Have you ever felt that way? I've been crucified with Christ. I'm trying to do what God says. I'm being attacked from every side. And it's not me who lives, you know. He said, but I've been mocked by my people. I've even been mocked by my family. I've even mocked by things. Sometimes the biggest battle we have is when we come back to the church. I imagine some of you that went to El Paso, you came back on a high, and sometimes it's a letdown when you get home. But it's easier sometimes for that. But you've been crucified with Christ. But it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Paul said, it's no longer me you're talking to, but Christ, he lives in me. Sometimes, like Cheryl said a while ago, I don't even understand why I do the things I do, because I've been crucified with Christ. He comes to live within me, and it's no longer me who lives, but Christ who lives. You can stop me, but you can't stop Christ. This life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and sent his Son for me. The flesh you see, it looks like me, but it's not anymore. It's being controlled by Jesus Christ. And finally, I want to talk about repentance. The one thing, that was another thing I didn't understand about whenever it came to salvation. Repentance is granted by God, number one. Acts 11:18. And when these heard these things, they also became silent and glorified God, saying that God has granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. Repentance is granted by God. God grants us repentance. He shows us how to repent, when to repent, how to repent, what we need to repent of, you know. I mean, I've shared this many times. I didn't even know that selfishness was a sin until I met God and Cheryl. She pointed it out pretty quick. There's evidence of repentance. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. I mean, when a person says they're saved and you don't see any difference in them, then there's no evidence. I don't see much salvation there. There'll be evidence of repentance. There'll be evidence of salvation. And no religious rituals. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. He just said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Not ritualism, not religion. And the last one is, repentance means turning to God from all others. And I love this. Isaiah 45:22 says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is no other. There is no other. I mean, you can look for anything you want to. I mean, you ever think about it? If you want to turn from God, where do you go? Where are you going to go? There is no other. If you want to leave the Baptist church, that's fine. You can go to the Methodist church. You can go to Church of Christ. You can go anywhere you want to. There's places to go. But if you want to turn from God, where are you going to go? Nowhere. There is no other. For I am God. And he said, there is no other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for the obedience that they have here, Father, that they want to serve you in all areas and all ways. Father, I just thank you for them. Father, we pray now as we come to this invitation time, Lord, that you be glorified, that you be high and lifted up. Father, for you said if you're lifted up, you'll draw a man unto yourself. Father, we give you praise for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Leo.